I'm Richard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 165 for the weekend starting 27 January 2017.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, good numbers from Microsoft as cloud business booms.
Also this week, Samsung's Galaxy S8, the latest rumors. The Nintendo Switch, it's coming, it's going on sale in South Africa, and we have pricing. The Xperia Ear, an intriguing product, lands on our shores. And is it time to give up on digital terrestrial television?
Let's hit the launch button.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. Eagle-eyed, or what did eagle-eared, what's the term for good hearing? We'll notice that we sound quite different this week. That's because we are recording on some new gear, which we've invested in. So hopefully there'll be no more of the snap, crackle, and pop of the podcast.
And slightly background noises.
Background noises and wind noises and that's all that sort of thing. We have hopefully addressed a lot of that with this new setup that we've created, freestanding mics and audio recording system, very fancy.
All to deliver that buttery voice goodness.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we should be sounding less podcasty and more radio quality going forward. And of course, this is all part of our plans to do much more podcasting in 2017 at Tech Central. You would have heard the in-depth interview, hopefully. If you haven't, please go and listen to it, that we did earlier this week with experts in the broadcasting and radio industries. It was a fascinating discussion. What I've decided to do, Richard, is we're going to split all that out into a separate podcast channel. So we pushed that first episode through the Talk Central channel, but if you subscribe to this feed through a or this podcast rather through a RSS reader or through a through an app like Pocket Casts or one of the other apps that's available for smartphone devices, we recommend you to go and check out the or just go to iono.fm where we distribute our audio and search for it there, or we'll provide the necessary RSS links under the entry on the site for this podcast as well as for our new Tech Central podcasts, which we've launched. We decided to keep them separate to avoid confusion. It's branded Tech Central Podcast at the moment. We may change that as time goes on. We may keep it. I'm not sure yet. This podcast will continue to be called Talk Central. So just to differentiate the two. So we'll have Talk Central and we'll have the Tech Central Podcast, which is really going to be interviews with industry leaders and decision makers and interesting people. So if you want to find that, you can just get the RSS off our site or simply search for Tech Central Podcast in your favorite podcast catcher. Alternatively, we have submitted the new podcast to Apple, so
iTunes, nice.
You'll be able to get it through iTunes at some point, but it hasn't been accepted yet. We submitted there about 4 days ago. I'm not sure how long Apple normally takes to...
It might take a few more days.
It might take a bit of time, so it's not... You can't get it through the iTunes service immediately, although it's very easy these days. You're just going to fire up iTunes on your computer, and I think it's under the file menu or the edit menu. I think it's the file menu.
Okay.
You just select add podcast and all you do is you type in the RSS feed which we will provide under this post.
Nice.
So quite simple to subscribe, and we'll be making it easier as time goes on to be discoverable in the various search engines and through iTunes of course as well. And I know a lot of people of course still use iTunes to subscribe to podcasts, although I think there has been a big shift in recent years to alternative platforms. I think at one point Apple pretty much dominated the podcast.
In fact,
the term podcast comes from the iPod.
Yes. I mean, it's still a great platform to discover a lot of new podcasts.
It is.
And there's some really good quality stuff on there.
Yeah, there is. There is
but
indeed.
iTunes is still iTunes. Yeah. It's not the best software around.
I mean, no. And in fact, I haven't used iTunes in years. And to submit it, I had to install iTunes for Windows on my PC.
Oh, sacrilege.
My word, it's horrible software.
Yeah, I'm using it a bit more now because I'm using the iTunes music service. I'm just trying it out. And for that, it's fine. But for everything else, it's still crap.
Yeah, indeed. But the podcast app that I, and we've mentioned in previous shows that I'm a huge fan of, and I don't think it's free if I recall, I had to pay for it, but it's worth it, is Pocket Casts.
Yeah.
And that runs on every platform you can imagine, including Windows Phone, and of course iOS and Android as well.
That's a nice app.
But it's a great app. It's my go-to app now for podcasts, and the search engine in there is fantastic. I haven't tested it yet, but you should just be able to type in Tech Central Podcast. I don't know if it's fed through all the search engines yet, but if it hasn't, it'll be there very soon. Please, if you enjoy this show, I have no doubt you'll enjoy our interviews. We'll be going into a lot of depth, a lot of detail with industry leaders. We'll be talking to CEOs. We've got some interesting interviews lined up already for the coming week or two. I think it'll provide insight behind stories. You know, I think in this day and age, in online publishing, there's always a rush to publish the headline facts out of an hour long press conference or an hour long interview, and you might get a 400-word story out of it. Meanwhile, you're discarding most of that interview, and it may be of interest to a lot of people. Mm. And you've just got to move on to the next story because of time pressures. Through this, I'm hoping that we can get a lot more out there about particular stories in the South African context.
And hearing it straight from the horse's mouth.
Exactly.
Know, not diluted through any other process.
Exactly. And I think the advantage of doing this over radio is that, you could listen to a Bruce Whitfield, for example, on 702 in the evenings. But, you know, he's going to interview, just for example, the CEO of Vodacom about their results. It's going to be a 5-minute interview looking at the headline feature. He doesn't have the time on his show to go into a detailed interview, say a half hour or even an hour long interview, really interrogating those numbers and talking about, this is where Vodacom's business is at, and this is what we think our competitive pressures are, and this is what we're thinking strategically, and all that sort of stuff. You don't get into that. And while you may do that as a text based article, you're not, because of time pressures again, you're not going to end up writing a 5,000 word feature analyzing every aspect of what he says. But when you put it out as an audio interview, you're getting a lot of detail out there that that otherwise wouldn't be out there. So I'm hoping it's going to work well, and we'd love your feedback as well on what we're doing with that this year. Please send it to us, info@techcentral.co.za. Tell us what we're doing right, what you'd like to hear more of. Is there anybody in particular you'd like us to interview?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, we'll try. Is that your first request, Rashad?
Yeah. See if we can get some time with him.
I'll let you know when we set it up. So that's it, y'all. Let's get into our show. And as always, we begin the show with a quiz. Rechot, do you want to get us kicked off?
Kick it off. The first question in our quiz: which Amazon.com movie has been nominated for the Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Interesting question. Second one: which semiconductor company, and it's a major global semiconductor company based in the US, is facing an antitrust probe by America's Federal Trade Commission, as well as a similar lawsuit from Apple?
And that business model is interesting. That from this company, I couldn't believe that's how they work with with device manufacturers. The third question: a prospective rival to the JSE has lodged a complaint against the JSE at the Competition Commission. What is the new exchange's name?
Our fourth question: JSE listed NetOne UEPS Technologies, bit of a mouthful, has acquired which European bank?
And the last question: which Indian telecommunications operator has said it may sell some of its African operations?
That's our quiz. We'll get to the answers at the end of the show, but let's jump into this week's news, Rechot, and quite a bit of international news to kick things off this week. I think it's results season in America, and we're seeing the big tech companies announce their results. We've seen Alphabet. I'm still not sure about that name.
It doesn't flow as nicely. It doesn't look as nice on the old ticker headline.
No. Of course, we're talking about Google, the holding company of Google. They announced results yesterday, as did Intel and Microsoft. And the Microsoft numbers were the ones that really caught my attention because they smashed analysts' expectations. And it was all driven by their cloud computing business.
Yeah, surprisingly.
So the cloud has really become a serious underpinning, a serious business for Microsoft. Their we're recording this before markets open in the US, but their share price is up 1.35% in pre-market trading, which I think, I might be mistaken, but I think if it's not a new record, it's very close to it. They're certainly at the sort of level that they were at the peak of the dot-com bubble 17 years ago. And their market capitalization has shot through $500 billion for the first time since 2000. And they're rapidly chasing Google and Apple to be the world's biggest tech company from a market cap point of view. $504 billion US dollar market cap currently. I'm not even going to attempt to convert that into Rand. That's bigger than our GDP, I suspect.
Yeah.
And trading on a PE multiple of 30. There's no doubt that Microsoft, under Satya Nadella, the CEO who replaced Steve Ballmer, is really delivering the goods here. And it's all cloud-based. They seem to have emerged. In fact, Microsoft really seems to have emerged as the king of cloud computing alongside Amazon.
Mm, yeah, that's what I thought it interesting because while they've done it so well, if you look at account integration between stuff like Office 365 and their OneDrive application, it still seems a bit rugged and rough around the edges for me. But I mean, they've done massive improvements on their systems over the last few years. I mean, if you think about where Office was 5 years ago, now it's actually a great platform.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I subscribe to Office 365. I never thought I'd subscribe to a software service. So when I first heard the idea, I thought, that's a terrible idea.
Pay monthly for Office, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it's an annual subscription. It's actually fair value. I mean, I think I pay 1,100 rand a year for the...
Yeah, I pay 80 rand a month or something.
Yeah. And I get a terabyte of OneDrive storage with that. OneDrive is a bit slow compared to Google Drive, I suspect, because they don't have actual servers on the ground here. But it's good value. It's good value. It I is. Mean, you'd pay, you know, you're effectively paying what you would pay Dropbox, plus you're getting an office suite with it.
Mm. Yeah, I had that running up on OneDrive, but I can't live without Dropbox. Dropbox has got too many features that I actually require.
Oh, does it? Okay.
And the speed is a big thing. The team collaboration is another thing that I use quite often.
Oh, is it? Okay.
But still, I mean, you're getting Office updated quite regularly. It's a good piece of software. And let's be honest, Outlook is, in my opinion, still one of the best mail clients out there, even on the Mac.
For business users, it's not negotiable. I think you can, if you're a home user just doing your Gmail or something, you can probably get away. Well, you get away with a web-based client, but you can also get away with using Mail.app, for example, or using Thunderbird or on your PC or one of those apps. But I think if you're running a business and you need integration, you need calendaring, you need all that sort of thing. Yeah. Nothing beats the combination of Outlook with an Exchange server or similar. Well, we run Zimbra here at Tech Central as our mail server, which integrates beautifully actually with.
Yeah, so it's got the right connectors for Outlook.
Exactly. In fact, you don't even need the connectors anymore. You just plug straight in.
Really?
Yeah.
One of the other tools we use, and I actually love this more than just the Office offering, is Microsoft Outlook.com service. For my wife's business, we set it up. So we obviously don't have dedicated Exchange servers running anywhere.
Sure.
But with them, you pay, again, I think it was 75 or 80 rand a month, and you get that full Exchange using your own URL.
Oh, nice.
You just pay per license per user.
It's like Google's offering.
Yeah, it's like Google's offering. But this is obviously plugging straight into Outlook, and then she can use it to work with her colleagues or you know, they can share their calendars and they have that kind of thing. It makes it so easy. I mean,
this is why they're winning at cloud.
Well, exactly. I remember setting up a hosted Exchange server a couple of years ago, and it was such a convoluted process to have it syncing all your mail. I mean, now it's two or three clicks and you set it up.
Hosted Exchange has changed that.
That's incredible.
No, it's good software, and they've done a lot of work in the background to get this all working hunky-dory. But there's no doubt that there's a huge fight now going on between Microsoft and Google for the future of the cloud-hosted Office. Google's also announcing, or Alphabet, I should say, announcing its results this week, and I think the overall number perhaps missed the analyst expectations by a little bit, but their cloud business was firing on all cylinders as well. So the IT world is moving to cloud. We've got Amazon's results coming out quite soon as well. I forget when. I think it might be next week or the week after. It'll be interesting to see what those numbers look like. But I think Amazon Web Services is also doing incredibly well. It's been a huge success for Amazon.
I know a lot of people that use their web services. Developers are using it for storage, using it as offsite.
That's huge for developers, it's a great platform. So cloud is, I mean, these companies, I'm trying to remember a time when all of the big tech companies, the big American tech companies, were all doing so well at the same time. I'm struggling to remember. I mean, you know, usually you either it's Microsoft doing not so well, Google's performing better, Apple's doing well, but Microsoft isn't, et cetera, et cetera. But they're all Intel, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, who am I missing? All those sort of $300 billion plus market cap tech companies are all doing well. Apple is due to announce its results, I think, on Monday or Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
The expectation is that they have done well with iPhone sales over the Christmas period.
I'm sure they've done very well.
Especially in light of the fact that the Samsung Galaxy S Note 7 had that issue. They had to recall the thing. No. I'm sure that played into Apple's hands. So they're all doing well. When does one of them trip? It has to happen at some point, right? Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, the service they're developing is really the kind of stuff that customers want now. I think a lot of them have learned the hard lessons. I guess it's now breaking those barriers for the next big thing. And that's what's going to make or break a few of these companies again. You know, some of them are going to make the right calls, others aren't. But I think in terms of just the accessibility, so now you're giving consumers access to these amazing features online using a cloud service. This is stuff we used to talk, write articles about 5-6 years ago, you know, the future of IT being cloud, and we're in it now, in the middle of it.
No, indeed. And all these companies are firing on all cylinders. It's quite remarkable. And it's amazing how quickly the shift has happened and just how big cloud has gotten and how reliant companies have become on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's move on to our next story. And this is a story that The Guardian broke in the last few days, and that's details, they say, of Samsung's upcoming Galaxy S8 smartphone. I must say, I think we spoke about this last week, this is the phone that I'm really excited about seeing this year, just because I think the fact that because of the problems that Samsung had last year, they're going to pull out all the stops for this thing. And so The Guardian, quoting sources, saying that the Galaxy S8 is going to have an almost bezel-less, they call it an infinity display, will come with an iris scanner to unlock it. This won't be the first phone to do that. I think the Lumia 950 did that, if I'm not mistaken, and one or two others. Rumor is there are going to be two models, which would be a first for the, I think... Well, they had the Galaxy S mini devices, didn't they, as well?
Yeah.
But these are going to be two big phones, one 5-inch and one 6-inch, according to the report. The 6-inch one is the one, I think, that appeals to me.
No, definitely.
Especially with on a bezel-less display, it won't feel too big. The S7, oh, here we go. Yeah, the S7 was available with either a 5.1 or a 5.5-inch screen. So we're going 5 to 6. So the bigger sized one is going to be quite a bit bigger.
Obviously, to make space for that battery issues they've been having, more space on the back end allows them to really push the product.
Put a decent battery in there anyway, because they're going to need to do that on a big screen phone, which no doubt is going to have a big, very good resolution as well.
I find it interesting. Yeah, they say Gordon also says that it'll have a new version of the Gear VR headset and Gear 360 camera. So they're obviously putting the hardware into people's hands so that they can start exploring with this VR technology.
Yeah.
Phone's obviously capable of running those images.
Yeah, they started doing that already with the Galaxy S7.
Yeah.
But continuing to push in that direction. But
I've heard good things about the new Samsung Gear VR.
It's
going to be a great one.
Interesting to watch. I think the most important thing that came out of this Guardian speculation is that the Galaxy S8, wait for it, will have a 3.5mm headphone socket.
What? Fantastic. Yeah. Sign me up.
I mean, we're used to Samsung copying Apple does. This is one instance where it appears they're not going to copy the best of Apple, and I think they're making the right decision.
I do. It's got USB-C, so I mean that's obviously people who want to expand and use potentially USB-C audio devices.
But exactly,
3.5 is great to have in there.
So iris scanning. Was there anything else that jumped out? Qualcomm 835, which is the new processor based on a 10-nanometer manufacturing process, 64 gigabytes of storage. which I think is good because 32 is actually too small these days.
Yeah. An expandable micro SD card, which
up to 256 is gigs.
Great to have,
particularly if you store a lot of photos.
Mm.
Although these days I tend to push my photos straight to the cloud. In Google Photos, you can now set it so when you plug the device in, it syncs. Well, you don't even have to plug the device in, but I do it to save battery. When you plug it in, it syncs your all your photos with the cloud and deletes those from the device as soon as they've been pushed up to the cloud, which is fantastic because then you don't clog up your device with photos.
Yeah, for sure.
This looks like it's going to be the phone to beat.
And that infinity screen is beautiful. I mean, just from this photograph on the casing at least.
It looks, the case, it looks like it's going to be brilliant. Let's just hope they put a battery in it that doesn't blow up.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll triple check those.
Yeah. Can you imagine if last year, I mean, I know it didn't go on, the Note 7 didn't go on sale in South Africa, never got here before they recalled it, but could you imagine if last year you bought a new Ford Cougar and a Galaxy Note 6?
Yeah, I think you'll have it in for technology, you'll be upset. Your insurance company might not like you either.
Yes, they'll profile you as high risk, makes bad decisions.
Oh, funny. They don't want to charge those two together either.
No.
It'd be bad.
No. So let's talk a bit about Nintendo. Now, I haven't really spoken about Nintendo for... When did the Wii come out? It must have been close to a decade ago now. Must be coming up for close to a decade. Now, it was such a cool device when it came out, and I remember people jumping around in their living rooms and breaking windows and stuff because their controllers got out of
hand. Yes. Many high-res TVs damaged. But it was an innovative device. It wasn't high-end gaming, but it really made gaming fun and active again, you know, and especially for group participation.
Yeah.
And I think that is what Nintendo is going for with the new Switch. They're continuing that line of thinking with gaming where it's not you sitting in front of a computer playing your first-person shooter game. This is really for people to participate and partake in as a group or as a family or friends.
So we've got South African pricing. It's being distributed by the Core Group, which is Nintendo's distributor in South Africa. It's going to cost 5,600 rand. Overseas, it's $299. So it's quite pricey. We're looking at pricing. It's in the same league as the Xbox and the PlayStation 4.
It's about a grand and a half with direct conversion more expensive than the US pricing.
Okay, which is not that much more because you've always got to add sales tax to that, VAT, which you don't see in the US pricing.
The cost of importing.
And cost of importing it and that sort of thing. So, okay, I think that's a reasonably fair price.
So you're playing up against, Xbox One potentially, or the...
And the PS4 it's coming up against. Now, it doesn't have as powerful a graphics processor in it as those consoles do. Which makes you wonder whether this is going to appeal to the hardcore gamer. I suspect probably not.
I agree. I don't think they've ever intended to, not from anything I've seen, that they've intended to take on that hardcore gaming market. You did mention that that may have been part of their strategy, but looking at the games, I mean, the reason why I don't have high-end graphics capabilities in their device is because they don't need it. You know, the graphics, like an anime style or like a drawing style would be very particular to their kind of, not going for true reality, you know, like we get on our on our high-end consoles.
Yes. Now, the interesting thing about this device is, I suppose the clue is in the name, is that you can tether it to a dock, which you plug into your TV, and it becomes a console in the traditional sense, where you sit in front of the TV and you play video games. But the device itself is actually a tablet type of device. It's a computer in its own right, and you can take it with you. You undock it, and you can play on the go. So it's that portability side that they're really going for. But is there a market for that? I mean, Sony had a portable device. What was it called?
PSP.
The PSP. How successful was that?
It was very successful back in the day. I think it's kind of tapered off now.
It's a bit old. But it was successful, there could be onto something here.
Well, I guess it depends. I think what probably held the PSP back was that you still had to buy. I mean, I don't know how would you add games to this. Is this all cloud, or you don't have a disc or anything, right?
No, it doesn't use a disc. It uses cartridges, if I recall.
So I can't see any of that. I haven't seen any of those things. But I think that's one of the things that potentially hurt the PSP in the earlier versions. Is just the fact cartridges. That you had to buy these. little discs.
Oh, it was disc-based.
Oh, little CDs. Yeah. Little weird little CDs that you slot in.
This uses cartridges. So you're going to go to the store and you're going to buy it and you're going to plug a cartridge.
Like the good old 8-bit cartridges of your...
exactly. I presume there'll be a way of playing cloud-based, doing cloud-based gaming as well, although I'm not sure.
I think that's the power in a portable gaming device, is the ability to, like, on-demand gaming or on-demand music streaming, have any game at your fingertips when you want to play it, as opposed to having to run out and buy it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the way we're going in video gaming, is that, you know, in future, maybe the power is actually going to sit in the cloud rather than on in your console, and you'll play video games that are streamed to you in the same way that you watch Twitch, people playing video games on Twitch at the moment. You'll actually play stream games potentially once the broadband is good enough.
HTC was involved with a company many years ago, and I can't think of the name right now, but they did exactly that. So they would have servers in the back end that you would play. You'd load up a game, but the instance of the game would be running on a server, and you just stream stream your commands back up to the game, but you get the images pushed through to you.
Yes. We have to get there eventually once bandwidth's good enough.
Yeah.
We're probably not there yet, but we'll get there. Pricing of the games is very high. Just looking at the press release we received from Core Group, first-party Nintendo Switch games available for launch include The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild for the recommended retail price of 999 Rand.
Hmm.
I mean, that's expensive.
Yeah, that's certainly the upper end of high-end console gaming games too.
Legend of Zelda, I think this is the big game that everyone's waiting for this platform. This is Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild Limited Edition is 1,400 Rand. I'm not sure what that comes with. Additional Nintendo Switch accessories available from launch include Joy-Con Pair for a recommended $12.99, Joy-Con Single for the recommended price of $8.99. Those are the controllers, I take it. Nintendo Switch Pro controller for 1,200 Rand. And then Nintendo Switch Amiibo characters. I'm not sure what they are. Link Archer, Link Rider, Zelda Bokoblin, and Zelda Fieldwork for 249 Rand each. I must say, I'm not sure what those are.
I'm also a bit confused. But I think that's something that obviously allows you to, like a little figurine character that somehow has a potential impact on the game. Or maybe they're dumb... figurines.
Yeah. So 5599 launching through Takealot and BT Games at first, and soon thereafter other retailers. That's Nintendo Switch. I must say I won't be buying one, but then I'm not a huge gamer, and I don't have an Xbox One or a PS4 either.
Look, I don't think we're the market for this, but it would be fun to play. I'm sure if somebody has it in the house and you get over there and you play a few games together.
Yeah,
you know, it's that's what it's about. But I mean, I sit down in front of my my screen, I'd rather play Battlefield or GTA or something.
Oh right,
it's just kind of, you know, the games that I prefer.
Yeah,
Nintendo doesn't cater for that. Yeah. Although having said that, and we did speak about this briefly last year, Nintendo's Mario Run on the iPhone.
Oh, yes. How's that done, by the way?
Oh no, I love that. No, that's still doing very well. From everything that I've seen, people are still raving about it, and it's a fun game.
And you enjoy it?
Okay. Oh, I'm loving it. Yeah, I'm loving it. Still fire up every now and then. It's one-ended gaming.
Yes.
And what's interesting is it's not the kind of game where you want to rush through to get to the end. You know, I redo some of the levels just to be better at them and get all the little coins and the mushrooms that you want to collect. It's a lot of fun. I mean, if a game makes you want to repeat levels like that, then it's fun.
Yes.
You know, you're having
a
good time.
Yes. I'm not sure I should admit this in public, but I've really been I've been downloading a lot of specials on Steam just because they're such good value for money, and they were virtually giving it away the other day, so I thought, let me just download this and see what it's about. I'm really enjoying Euro Truck Simulator.
Oh my, okay, yeah, maybe you shouldn't reveal that in public. What about Farming Simulator?
It's quite good. Farming Simulator, I've bought that a while ago as well, and it's. It's more entertaining than you might think. I did tire of it quite quickly though. But Euro Truck Simulator is a lot of fun. I was surprised. They send you on missions across Europe to deliver goods and.
Oh, nice.
The appeal does wear.
So is it real time? Do you sit in the truck for 12 hours to get across the country, or is it not that realistic?
No, it's pretty realistic. It's a good way to discover whether or not you want to be a truck driver, I suppose. I can tell you I don't want to be a truck driver. But, you know, if you like enjoy sim games, it's actually not bad. I'm a big fan of Flight Simulator. It's no patch on Flight Simulator, but it's still... It's you know, if you enjoy playing a sim, if you're a Flight Sim fan, then you might enjoy Euro Truck Simulator. It's actually not bad. And they often give it away virtually for free on Steam. So check it out. Just add it to your favorites, and they'll alert you when it becomes available on special.
Yeah.
I think we need to take an ad break. We'll be back right after this message.
Hello world. Hello information. Hello uploads and downloads. Hello streaming videos and low latency. Hello blogs and vlogs. Hello crystal clear video calls. Hello increased productivity. Hello online learning. Hello cloud. Hello long lost friends and missed connections. Hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef?
Beef, please.
Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Welcome back to the show. So I went to this week to the launch of a very interesting product called the Xperia Ear. Don't try and say that too quickly after you've had a few beers. Sony Xperia Ear. It's a strange product. I don't know if you've seen it, but they announced it last year at Mobile World Congress. It's finally come to market. I'm not sure why it took so long. And I'd be a bit wary with Mobile World Congress coming up again in the next couple of weeks that Sony announces a follow-up to it. So maybe not rush off and buy it immediately. But it kind of harkens back to the era where we used to wear these Bluetooth dongles in our ears.
Yeah. I saw somebody wearing one the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Couldn't believe it.
People stopped wearing them, I think mainly because you look like a dork.
Beam me up, Scotty.
So you're going to have to wear this thing in your ear, and there's a little light on the side that flashes. So if you can get past the social, what's the word? The social disgrace, if you like, and get to try it out. It's an interesting device. I think the biggest problem with it is that it's not voice activated, so you can't say OK Ear or OK Xperia.
Not like the Googles and the Amazon Echoes.
You have to press a button on the side of the headphones, either short press or long press. And you can set it up to do different things. For example, I've set it up to, if you short press it, it brings up the Xperia software.
Oh, nice.
It allows you to do the various things like, you know, call Richard on his mobile or navigate me to home or... search the web for whatever.
So it's just an intelligent earpiece, really. It's not. Yeah. It's not a assistant, or at least it's just an interface to the assistant software.
It's yes, you have to have your smartphone in proximity. It works through your phone. You've got to have it paired with your device using the Xperia Ear software for Android, and it only runs on Android. You don't have to have a Sony Xperia smartphone, so it'll work on any Android phone, KitKat, I think, or higher, 4.4, Android 4.4. If you long press it, or in the case that the way I've set it up, my review one is you long press it and it brings up Google search, voice activated search. You can set it up so that Google search is the default rather than the Sony one.
Yeah.
You can dictate emails. I haven't played with it long enough yet to know how good it is at dictation and that sort of thing. It's got a built-in accelerometer and gyroscope. It can ask you things, and you know, if the answer is no, you shake your head from left to right. If the answer is yes,
that's not going to look odd.
Yeah, driving in traffic, head shaking. It's almost like you think you're having a seizure or something.
Yeah, and then your vehicle's lane assist is telling you, you're not keeping your eyes on the road. And it's
too much technology. I don't know, it's an interesting device, and there may be a use case for it. Someone may find it useful, but I think I'm not going to be using it much. My big problem with it is it seems to take over the Bluetooth on my phone. So when I'm in my car, I'm always wanting to listen to podcasts or streaming music, etc. And this ear is connected to my phone. And so my car isn't connected to my phone, so I can't do the stuff I normally do.
Yeah, that could be a problem once all these technologies are starting to use Bluetooth and these wireless technologies. I mean, your phone only has so many...
Yes.
No, you can only connect to Wi-Fi with one device, and it's not going to give you access to the internet on another Wi-Fi port.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think there may be people who find it very useful, people who are on the phone all day long. I think that they may find it useful having a phone attached to their ears. As a device for searching the internet, I don't know. I think I'd rather just pick up my phone and use it to find something.
No.
I don't think I want to listen to something, guessing what my search results should be, and then reading me something which might not be relevant.
You're much more efficient just looking at the phone and doing it directly.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. And if I want to make a call in my car, I can really do it hands-free. I just press the dial button on the steering wheel and say, call Rechard on his mobile, and it does that with my... It does that with my phone paired to the car, so I don't actually need to have this thing in my ear. So Engadget ran a review on it and made the good point. It seems to be a solution in search of a problem.
Yeah, that is quite interesting. Yeah, it's not. I don't think this is the right kind of product to pitch now, not in light of all the new assistant technologies we're getting, especially not the ones that have a proper backing behind them.
Yeah. There's assistant technology. I really want one of those Google Homes or those Amazon Echoes.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to have one of those in my home.
I have great conversations with it. Did you see the webcast? I think you sent me the link with Amazon Echo and Siri talking to each other. Was it Google's assistant?
No, it was Google Home talking to another Google Home.
Oh, was it the two? Okay, they're two talking to each other.
It went offline. We ran a story on it, actually. It was fascinating.
It might still be going, actually, having conversations.
It probably is. they're bots. They don't know when to stop.
Loved it.
I think at one point they did say goodnight to each other and then they went offline.
Really? I'm sure they ran out of things to say.
Yes. I suppose there's only so many times you can propose marriage to another bot.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see the algorithm writers behind these technologies and just see the kind of crap that they have to come up with to counter the most odd questions and line of thinking.
Yes. So, before we finish the news this week, Marion Shin, who's the Democratic Alliance's spokeswoman on telecommunications and postal services, put out a statement saying that digital TV, the DTT project in South Africa, the Terrestrial Migration Project, has failed.
I don't know.
Now, we know this thing's been a disaster, and we should have completed this migration years ago, and that... there are multiple reasons for the state, the situation that we're in. The question is it actually time to give up on this? Have we reached the point now where migrating to digital TV actually doesn't make sense anymore?
Can we afford not to do it? I mean, we need to move out of those frequencies.
We need to move out of the frequencies. That has to happen. I think that's beyond doubt. But, a lot of people have for many years have spoken about using DTH or direct-to-home satellite.
Mm.
Like... your OpenView HDs or your FreeVision options from Centec as an alternative and just free up the entire terrestrial television band and make it available for other applications. OpenView HD has been very successful by all accounts. I think they started life, things they got off the ground a bit slowly, but they've seemed to have picked up the pace a lot. Much cheaper decoders in retail, for example. I think they cost $3.99. And you get access to more channels than you get through a terrestrial service. Given all this nonsense about encryption and decoder subsidies and all the rest of it, it's so easy to do on satellite. I mean, the tricky bit, I guess, is the fact that everyone's going to have a satellite dish installed.
Yeah.
That may be unfair and maybe a little bit more complex for consumers. In that, at the moment, especially if you live near a transmitter, you just plug in a small aerial and you can pick up DTT. But it's an interesting debate. Is it time to give up on this project, which has been a disaster and continues to be a disaster?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to give up on it so quickly. I think too much has been invested in it. And are those alternative options really viable within the shorter space of time that we need it to be?
Well, I think you can do DTH pretty much immediately. I mean, the technology's there. The satellite is in the sky. You just need to sign a few contracts and it's done. You can even do the Dakota subsidy. I guess you solve the encryption problem as well, because I think those systems are by default encrypted. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't think they're going to scrap it. National Treasury may want to scrap it. It depends what the political imperatives are. I mean, it's an interesting one. Whether the project has failed, I think a project's only failed when you pull the plug on it, and that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. But the results have certainly been borderline failure, because it just hasn't achieved any of the things it's done. It probably just caused more aggravation and wasted a lot of money.
Yeah, and while the lawyers have got very rich on all these lawsuits that have happened. But the constitutional court case on this whole matter, with Faith Mutambi, the communications minister, taking ETV to the Concord, is happening next month. The Concord's going to hear the case. So one way or the other on this encryption thing, at least, which has been dragging on for so many years, we'll finally have an answer. I think it may be several more years still before the mobile operators get their hands on any of that spectrum.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Anyway, that's the news this week. Let's get on to our regular picks, and we've got a sort of left field pick for our winner this week.
Hmm.
I've been watching, I know, Rehat, you've been watching as well, with a great deal of interest, the unfolding disaster that is Donald Trump's presidency in the U.S. And,
disaster indeed.
I've been following Vicente Fox Quesada, and I apologize if I'm butchering his name, which I very well might be doing. He was the president of Mexico from 2000 to 2006. Now, I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast knows Donald Trump has been making a lot of noise about building a border wall between the United States and Mexico.
Yeah.
Estimated costs of around $25 billion. Trump has been saying that Mexico is going to pay for it. In fact, Trump has now said that he is going to impose a import duty on all Mexican products. I think the figure was 20% or 25% on all Mexican imports. 20%. And he's saying that in that way, the Mexicans are going to pay for the wall, which just seems the bizarrest thing to me, because actually, if you're increasing taxes on imported goods, the people who are going to be paying a higher price for those goods are Americans. So actually, it's your voters who are going to be paying for the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
American citizens are going to be paying for
cutting the nurses by the first.
Not the Mexicans. The only impact is going to be that Mexico sells less products to the United States and probably looks for other markets. I'm not sure Trump has got his head quite around that one, which is interesting given that he's a self-made billionaire. But Vicente Fox, former president of Mexico, has been using Twitter to very good and funny effect to troll Mr. Trump. Some of the things he's been posting, and he's been using the dropping F-bombs left, right, and center, which is funny, but I'm not sure it's what the Mexicans think about the sort of diplomacy, if you can call it diplomacy, given he's a former president. But he's tweeting, he's running a Twitter poll as we currently record this podcast. It'll no doubt be finished by the time most of you listen to it. But he's running a Twitter poll saying, including @RealDonaldTrump, which is Donald Trump's Twitter handle, saying @RealDonaldTrump's ego monument real cost is around $25 billion. I ask you, America, what would you prefer instead of that? And I'm going to censor this, #effingwall. And he's asking people to vote. Improved healthcare, affordable education, support agriculture, or modernize infrastructure. And at the time of recording, it had over 300,000 votes. And I see he's been appearing on U.S. news networks really giving Donald Trump a hard time. I'm struggling to find the original tweet that he put out about the wall, He's been tweeting a lot. He says, Sean Spicer, who's the White House press secretary. Sean Spicer, I've said this to @RealDonaldTrump, and I'll tell you, Mexico is not going to pay for that effing wall. #effingwall. I like this guy.
Oh, man. Do they not know how difficult it is to prevent people from crossing a border? They can't even stop the illegal drug flow from Mexico to the United States. How are they going to stop people and products moving over?
Yeah.
At least
building walls. I mean, have we not learned from history? Here's another choice one from him. Hashtag Trump. Grow up. Behave like a president. Stop lying and cheating American people. You know you lost the popular vote. Oh, man. He really is trolling Trump. And his followers are surging by the minute here. Last time I looked yesterday, I think he had about 300,000 followers. Now he's closing in at 600,000. Nice. So he's definitely worth the follow. His Twitter handle is Vicent Fox Q-U-E, or VicentFoxQue.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
It is, yeah, it is. And of course, the current Mexican president canceling his plans for an official state visit to the U.S. over Donald Trump's remarks this week that he was going to go ahead with the building of the wall. So, well done, Donald. Well done. Donald.
And just off the back of that, highly recommend you go to YouTube. I sent you the link, Duncan, earlier. Bad lip reading. Have a look at a bad lip reading. These guys have done a bad lip reading of the inauguration. And it is the funniest piece of comedy that you will watch this year.
I'll check it out. Who did it? Is it suitable for the podcast, or is it...
You can share it. It's family friendly, and it is a bunch of guys that do voiceovers and sound effects. They've done a few. They've actually got some really good stuff, but I think they got Donald Trump's voice down, and it's just amazing.
Okay, I'm actually just firing it up here. Is there text on the screen you have to read, or can we just play it?
No, you can just play it. So what they do is they take the real visuals, and they just overlay their own audio.
Oh, right, okay.
Do you know what you just said?
Well, you're cheery.
Me? I'm always like this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You're certainly not going to be.
When can I see
you're bad
walk
company.
Away?
This is the Trump and Trump and Obama talking to each other.
Now's your chance.
Well, you can be a funny wiener, can't you? I'm important.
Anyway, I'm important. That's where he shakes everybody's hands and he just walks up to them and says, I'm important.
That does look very good. I won't play the rest of it because you actually do need to see the visuals to get the humor. But well worth checking out. It's Inauguration Day, a bad lip reading of Donald Trump's inauguration. 17.2 million views already. Wow.
Yeah, no, that's been social media gold over the last few days.
And much as we were tempted to pick Donald Trump as our loser, we couldn't really think of a tech angle. I guess the Mexican president, former Mexican president, wasn't really a tech angle either, except for it was on Twitter, so we could sneak it in. But we don't have a loser this week. No, it's not Donald. And no, we don't have anyone local to pick either. So our potential losers of the week can breathe a bit easier, I guess. Rechot, what's your pick this week?
So I recently launched up Steam again for the sole purpose of downloading this game that I came across called Party Hard. Now, it's an indie game that is made by a company called Tiny Build. And it is the most addictive fun that I have had in a while. I mean, I downloaded this thing on Tuesday. I bought it. It's about 139 Rand on Steam. Very cheap. There's some expansions too. But I've already spent, and I shouldn't say this. I hope nobody is listening, or my wife's not listening, but I spent about 6 hours already on this game, playing it in between work and some late nights. And essentially what it is, it's a little 8-bit low resolution game. And you essentially need to... The backstory is you are annoyed with the neighbor's party making a lot of noise and you're trying to sleep. And you basically just go over there and kill everybody. it's a bit of a puzzle game in that, you know, there's a lot of people on the screen that you need to eliminate. But if they see you, they can call the cops. Or if somebody else sees you, you know, they can raise an alarm. There's a whole bunch of, little traps that you can set as well. But it's well worth checking out. A lot of fun. And there's various levels, various stages, various characters. They pull a lot of kind of little animations from pop culture. There's some Breaking Bad guys running around. There's some ninjas and that kind of thing. But it is a hell of a lot of fun. It was launched last year in August, and it's available on PC, Mac, Linux, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, iOS, and Android. So they really hit all the platforms there. Wow. But if you're looking for something to play, kind of, you know, 10, 20-minute games in between doing something else, this is the one that I would recommend. Party Hard.
Party Hard. Cool. Go check it out.
And they've got a great soundtrack, too. The music on here is absolutely phenomenal.
Go check it out on Steam. My pick this week, and I haven't finished reading it yet or listening to it, is another Audible pick, and it's The Collected Stories of Arthur C. Clarke, of course, one of the great sci-fi writers of all time, and I've read a lot of his work over time, so I'm feeling confident to pick it, even though I'm only about a third of the way into it. It's all of his short stories, some of them very short, including some of his longer pieces, novellas, including, I think, one of my favorite Arthur C. Clarke stories of all time, Songs of Distant Earth. A great collection, very well read, three readers behind it, and all of them very competent, doing a great job with the short stories. And it's a comprehensive collection, so you're going to be busy with it for a long time if you grab it. But for any sci-fi fan, particularly for Arthur C. Clarke fans, it's a brilliant collection, and there's some really good stories in there. So and it spans his entire career. It's the complete collection from right in the early days, where he wrote books that or stories rather that predicted the internet, for example, back in the 1930s. And similar ideas. He was a great writer. He didn't hit the mark all the time, but for the most part, a very enjoyable short stories. And we're always checking out if you're a sci-fi fan. Yeah. And the good news, it's only one credit on Audible if you're a subscriber. Nice. So really good value for money, given the volume of his work that you're getting in this collection. Great. Rechat, I think that is our show. We, of course, just need to do our quiz results.
Quiz results, yes.
Let me kick it off, as usual, with the answers. Our first one, interesting question, actually. Which Amazon.com movie has been nominated for a Best Picture Oscar? It's the first time it's ever happened for a streaming service. And the movie is called Manchester by the Sea. Apparently, it's quite depressing. I'm not sure I want to watch it, but it's apparently very well acted.
The second question, which semiconductor company is facing an antitrust probe by America's Federal Trade Commission and a lawsuit from Apple? And the answer, surprisingly, is Qualcomm.
Qualcomm, yeah. Very big company.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the amount of royalties that they charged, apparently they charge royalties on the retail price of the product and not the manufacturing cost or any other cost associated with it.
That's great,
That's scary stuff. I mean, it just shows you that tech would be a lot cheaper if some of these companies didn't charge so much royalties just for the little hardware bits.
Indeed. And apparently, even if there's no Qualcomm hardware in there, it's just Qualcomm patents, they still charge the fee. So Apple has now also filed a lawsuit against them, and they're really facing a lot of pressure from antitrust regulators in South Korea.
Mm.
Qualcomm
is a great... I mean, the innovation they've got and the tech that they've got is superb. Mm.
But questions about their business model.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's going to be the clincher.
Hmm. Our third question, a prospective rival to the JSC has lodged a complaint against the JSC at the Competition Commission. What is the new exchange's name? And the answer is ZARX.
The fourth question, JSC listed NetOne has acquired which European bank? And the answer, Bankfric.
Bankfric, Liechtenstein-based. Interesting acquisition. I was planning to run the story just as it came across the JSC Sens news service, and I thought, oh, here's just a quick story to write up and post. And I decided to just do a Google search on Bankfric and find out a little bit more about who they are. And the hell of a story there, back from 2014, when the CEO of the company was murdered in the bank's underground parking lot by an angry customer.
Oh, wow.
Family-owned business, the Frick family, and Jürgen Frick, I think was his name, murdered.
See.
Allegedly by someone who, he certainly was disgruntled, wasn't he? He'd been fighting with them for over a period of years, apparently. And according to the reports at the time, he was found dead in a nearby town after having committed suicide.
Sure.
Not sure what the rationale is behind the NetOne acquisition, but I suppose that'll come out in time. And our final question this week, which Indian telecommunications operator has said that it may sell some of its African operations? And the reason for that is it's under intense pressure in its home market where competition has become quite robust. And the answer to that question is Bharti Airtel. And it'll be interesting to know whether any of our local operators here, particularly Vodacom and MTN, might be interested in snapping up some of those assets if they come up for sale. And that's our show, our new improved show. We'll be in the next couple of weeks, we'll be coming up with a new jingle for the show. I think the current one is probably a bit long in the tooth. We're looking around for a good jingle at the moment.
Some inspiration. Apparently, all the Metallica rights are difficult to get to. I've looked into this.
Which Metallica song did you have?
Master of Puppets.
Master of Puppets. Yes, we might chase away all our listeners. But yeah, there are plenty of actual commercial jingles out there. So we're trawling through them at the moment to find one that really that's really good for the show and for our new show, the Tech Central Podcast. Just a reminder, if you missed it at the beginning of the show, we're separating that out into a separate feed. So if you want to receive that in your podcast reader, make sure you grab the RSS, which we'll include in the post on the story or any of the future Tech Central podcast entries on Tech Central, and subscribe to that in your favorite reader or podcast catcher. And yeah, I think that's our show for the week. If you've got any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you think about the new audio quality. We're quite impressed with it, and the kit we've invested in here to improve the quality of the show. Quite amazed actually what we can do with some just basic desktop audio recording software these days, recording hardware I should say. We've got lots of things planned for the show through the year and for the Tech Central podcast, which may or may not get a new name. Drop us a line, tell us what you think. info@techcentral.co.za. We're always very pleased to get your emails. So Rechat, until next time, from myself and from Rechat, take care. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.